Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to it. In the Box, TSN 1200. Final hour of the show is underway, this being Thursday. And finally, game day. Got it for you tonight. 7:30 pregame show. 8 o'clock puck drop. Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. Up 2-0. The Vegas Golden Knights looking for that stranglehold on the final in Sunrise, Florida, to take on the Panthers tonight. To talk about that, to talk about the Brinket, to talk about all kinds of news around the world of hockey, and maybe to talk about suburban carp. Who knows? And dogs. It's Dean Brown joining us. Hello, Dean. How are you?
I'm doing well, boys. Very well, thanks.
Okay. What's it like around where you? It's getting kind of dark here. I feel some weather. The knee's acting up, Dean. You can feel it in the knee. I think we might get some weather moving in.
Well, yeah, it's cloudy out here in the lovely carp area. But it's been I've been out mowing the lawn and doing a bunch of stuff, moving some cedar posts and stuff. So I've been outside all morning working, and the air quality seems fine to me, although I'm not any kind of scientific meter or gauge. But when a old, fat, out-of-shape guy isn't wheezing, then it shouldn't be that bad out there. So I think that's gotten better. I'd have to ask Matt Scooby. But it does feel like there could be some rain coming, which is a good thing.
Well, I can tell you this, and I haven't said a thing, really. Just I mentioned the Graham a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
My nose has been a faucet for 3 days.
Really?
And I can feel it. It's the smoke. It affects everybody differently. I don't have a cold. I took a test. I'm good. And it's just been brutal. And as the show's gone on, I've started to feel better because I think the air is a little bit better. So there we go.
Well, you know, maybe my body is somewhat used to being abused like that because when did I quit smoking? 10 or 12 years ago? But, you know, maybe my body's just going, oh, he's smoking again. You know, like maybe I fooled my body with this weather out here that it just thinks it's smoking again. Maybe that's what it is.
All right. There you go. Okay, Dean, let's get into it here. You know what? We could do the whole segment on stupid stuff, and that I know you could pull it off.
But I can do stupid.
Yes, I know. Yours truly, I can do that as well. Mea culpa. Let's start with the Stanley Cup Final because you know the DeBrincat news that's been driving the show, and the listeners want to get into that. So we'll spend some time on that. But here we go. 2-0 lead for the Vegas Golden Knights in Sunrise to take on the Panthers tonight. Give me reasons why the Panthers can find a way and make this a series because it doesn't look too good right now.
No, you know, you have to think this is the series tonight. If they go down 3-0, that's it. You know, then it's just a matter of time. If they get a win, then tides can turn. But you got to think that tonight is the series. This is going to be decided tonight. And so far, I think that probably the biggest thing is that, Florida has been relying on, the way games have been called in the past years. And, they're trying to make this a bar fight. And Vegas just isn't buying in, and they're just going about their business. And by and large, they have been the better team in the first two games. Certainly, the first two periods of game one was pretty even. Great hockey, a lot fast and physical. And, I was loving that. But pretty much since then, it's been all Vegas. And, I get the whole wanting to make it a physical thing, and I get the whole thing you want to try and get Vegas to become unhinged and come after you and cheap shots and all. I don't mind. I got to admit, I don't mind that kind of hockey, but there's that line, and I think a couple of times there's been guys who've been going over it, and it's hurt Florida. It's put them in situations where it's hurt them, and so. I think if it's just straight up man on man, my guy, your guy, I think Vegas probably wins. So I don't know if Florida's going to change their tactic tonight and try and make it just about the hockey because I'm not sure that's to their advantage. So I think we might see more of the same in Florida, hoping that on home ice, maybe with last change, they get some better matchups that they like, that they think they can impose their will a bit, and we'll see what happens. But you have to think that tonight is the series.
What have you been most impressed by with Vegas as they've gotten themselves into this position here throughout their run?
I think control creature. You know, they haven't allowed themselves to be lured into the way Florida wants to play. And I'm not sure, it might have been Rod Brind'Amour, said, I think it was last year, said, and it's not a new thought, but, he put it very succinctly that, the team, and he obviously wasn't talking about the Stanley Cup Final, but the team in the playoffs in each series that is able to force their will and play their style and make the other team play their style is generally the team that wins. And Vegas just hasn't allowed themselves to be drawn in to what Florida's trying to do. So I think that, you know, the discipline and the sticking with the game plan and sticking with, you know, what they think they have to do to win and what they have to not do, which is not get lured into it. I think Vegas has shown a great deal of discipline in knowing what the prize is and just putting up with the shenanigans and skating away from it.
And let's be honest here as well. The big reason why Florida is where they are, Bob out of his mind, playing so well. And I don't know, but I think I'm in the minority on this. I don't think he was terrible in the last game. I know he gets pulled and he allows four. And I say that because of this, Dean. If he sees it, he stops it. He's proven that for the most part. And I just think that the Florida Panthers and the Vegas Golden Knights did a better job of getting to the net, and whether they're directly getting in the way of Bob or it's a Panther not doing a good with their body position and not letting him see through it here as well. He's got to own that. You get pulled, you allow four. But yeah. If I'm looking for one thing tonight, I think the Panthers have to do a better job of letting their goaltender, who's been playing at an all-world level, have a chance to continue to play at that level and see the puck.
Yeah, I 100% agree, Lloydie. And you know what? They you know, especially in the last game, simply weren't good enough at blocking shots. If you're going to get in the way to tie up a man and take away your own goalie's eyes, you better block the shot. You better put your body in front of it. And there were just, if you look at those goals, I think four of those goals were simply blocked vision goals. He just couldn't see it coming. And partially because of Vegas screens, but also partially because his guys got in his way, but not in his way enough to block the shot themselves. So, you know, if you're going to get in there and you're going to take away your own goalie's eyes, you better knock it down yourself. And I thought that Bob was okay. You know, you're right. When you look at the sheer numbers, you go, well, he couldn't have had a good game. Well, like I said, you know, four of those goals were no eyes goals. And if he sees them, I'm not, you know, the one over his right shoulder, you know, he's down. It just that's a guy who's not 6 foot six. And that's where you see, you know, he's not 6 foot six. And so, you know, that one is not really the same thing. But the other ones, you know, like a guy's getting a shot from 50 feet out. The only way that goes in is if he doesn't see it, and he's not seeing it not just because there's Vegas guys in front. His guys are in front too. So I think they either have to do a better job of getting out of the way or get in the way, but the halfway stop is killing them.
One of the things I've really been impressed with Vegas over the years and specifically this year is, of course, they have stars in Eichel, Stone, and on the back end, Petrangelo and Theodore, but Mark Stone's playing on a line with Chandler Stephenson and Brett Howden. So they obviously turned a couple of players maybe weren't working out in other situations in Stephenson into Howden into pretty good players. They got Mike Amadio, who's chipped in a good amount this year. They just seem to find guys that maybe aren't valued by their former teams and look real good with Vegas. And when you're watching guys like that, like Brett Howden on the line with Mark Stone and he's contributing in a big way, like how impressive is how have they been able to fill out their roster around their stars?
Yeah, really good. And I think really good in Creature, mostly, you know, hockey ops and the coaching staff doing a really good job in Vegas in establishing roles and giving players roles. You know, players who have on other teams, you know, well, let's look at the Mario. You know, for a time he was an Ottawa Sounder. Yeah, he had a role, a fourth-line role. What does that really mean, though? You know, you go into another situation and you're playing with, quote-unquote, a better player. What's your role on that line? And, you know, you look back with Ottawa, for example, and, you know, when Brian Murray was the general manager, you talked to players who played for Brian Murray. He made sure that everybody had a role. They knew what their role was, and they knew their role was important. And you get a lot out of guys when they feel that their contributions are important, even if the minute count isn't as high as some of the other players on the team. And I think that Vegas has done a very good job of that, where no matter what line you play on, here's what we need you to do. Not just go out there and play your own game. It's far more specific than that. That's just really good coaching, and that's just really good hockey ops and looking at guys who have the basic skill set that you need to fill certain roles and then having the coach mold them into that role. And you can have guys that, you know, seemingly on other teams couldn't find that spot, couldn't find that success. Well, a lot of times it has to do with they weren't given a specific role. It was just too general. You're playing on the third line. You're a third line energy guy. Go. Well, specifically what? Specifically what is the role? Not just energy role. Go. You know, it's more complicated than that if it's going to work, and it's working for Vegas.
Brett Howden, I wonder what's changed. 54 games in the regular season, 6 goals, 13 points. Mm-hmm, well, Mark Stone gets healthy and starts playing in the playoffs, and he plays on his line. 5 goals, 4 assists, 9 points in 19 games. So, and he's an RFA. Yeah, we could see a bit of a Zach Smith effect maybe here. Brett Howden, pretty big fan of Mark Stone.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Well, you know what? If you look at a guy like Howden, and you just countered on what we're talking about with roles, if you're playing with Mark Stone, you have to be in a position to transition quick. You know, that's something that you have to have in your game. You have to know that when you're on the ice with Mark Stone, you have to be ready to spin and counterattack real quick, because Mark Stone is exceptional. I think the best in the league at knocking down pucks, stealing pucks. And so, if you're playing on his line, it's not just, like we were saying, it's not just a general thing. It's very specific. If you're playing with him, you always have to be not just looking for the puck, looking for him. And if he knocks the puck down, where's it going? You've got to be ready to turn and counterattack real fast, because that's a part of his game. And if you're on his line, that has to become a part of your game. So you can take advantage of those things, and it really helps your personal stats when you're ready to play and you have that kind of a mindset, because you're specifically playing with that kind of a player who brings that kind of skill set to his line.
All right, I guess a good way to transition into the DeBrincat/Sens talk of filling out the roster with guys that have roles and fit well, and that leads to our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web pool question of the day. I've pretty much asked you this before, but here are the options, Dino. What is the preferred return on an Alex DeBrincat trade? Similar goal-scoring forward, added depth/middle six, goalie, or first/futures?
Well, it wouldn't, in a perfect world, you'd like to get a first back and a veteran starting goalie, in a perfect scenario. I'm not sure that's possible, but that's what you'd want to get. You'd want to get, the first round pick that you gave up for him, and a player that plays right now in a substantial role. That's what you want. But, I think it has obviously a lot to do with what the teams have that's on his preferred destination spot, because that's where you'd like to make your deal, not just because it's his list. It's far more likely that he would be willing to sign a long-term deal with a team on his preferred list. And if he's willing to do that, then his value in a trade is far greater than just trading a guy who's becoming an RFA. So, that's where you'd like to cash in. But I think that, you want to keep it everything in the high end. You traded to get a high end score, and while he didn't score 40 this year, you can see how he scored 40, and I think he'll score 40 again. So that's how you have to look at it. You're not going out into the marketplace with a 27 goal score. You're going out with a two-time 40 goal score. So that's what you expect out of the market. That's what you demand out of trade partners. And you can see if they see the same thing in him as you do. But that's how you take those first steps in, and you start really looking at the roster of the teams on his preferred list, because if they're on his preferred list, that becomes your preferred list, because, you're going to get more out of a trade if they're going to be able to sign him to an extension. And in those situations, that's when you allow the team to talk to his agent and see if they can pre-negotiate a long-term deal, because if they have that set up and they can sign that right after you trade him, then, those are things that benefit you as the team trading him, because the team that's signing to a long-term, they've made a commitment, so they're willing to give up more. They're going to get, 7-8 years. Well, it can't be 8. I guess it has to be 7. So,
sign and trade, Dean. They could do a sign and trade like with Kachuk.
They could sign and trade. I suppose they could do that. But, either way, it's one of those things where, you want to, in best-case scenario, you want to go after his preferred team list and want to go off that, because that's going to give you a better chance of him signing long-term with wherever he's going, which means you're going to get more in a trade.
All right, I'm going to radio you, Dean. So Dean Brown has just said, he just said it. We all heard him, okay? He said it's DeBrincat to Nashville for a first and Saros. Done deal. Okay, there it is.
Sure.
It's just that easy, folks. This is how trades happen.
People are so inventive. I see a lot of the trade suggestions, and some of them I just go, you know, like, think about that for a second. Yeah. But they're all fun. Everybody wants to play general manager without the fear of being fired. You know, it's easy to play general manager when you're not the guy who has to answer for it. It's fun. It's a Canadian game we all play. But, some of the stuff, like the Pierre-Luc Dubois stuff from Winnipeg is just that was an automatic chuckler. Because the first thing I thought of was, yeah, I get what you're thinking from a player standpoint, and I can see that logic. But if you think that Alex DeBrincat doesn't want to live in Canada or in Ottawa, you think his preferred spot would be Winnipeg? Like, come on! Like, you got to put some of the thought into more than just the this player for that player. If you're going to come up with a really good one that's debatable and something you talk about, you know, on the surface, you know, would that be something? If you could get as part of a trade a player like Dubois, that would be great. That would be a good part to that trade. But you have to think of the other side and what is possible and plausible. And I don't know who is on Alex DeBrincat's preferred team list, but I'm pretty sure Winnipeg isn't.
Yeah, I would say every Canadian team is not on the list, and Winnipeg would be at the top of my list teams that would not be on it. No offense to the fine people of Winnipeg, and Dean's a native Manitoban, as he says that as well. We should point that out here. All right, well, you know, I was going to ask you that anyway, so you kind of got into it. So, you know, this is quite the task for Pierre Dorion. You deal with it. This is why you're the GM. You see how you navigate the DeBrincat situation. How would you like to be Kevin Cheveldayoff, though? You got Dubois, and he's been very clear, again, on what he wants to do. And then what of Scheifele? What of Hellebuyck? What of Wheeler? And if you listen to the reporting from the guys at Insider Trading, if they've got to flip these players out, all or some of them, Dean, they don't want to rebuild. So they want to get... Like, how? That's a tough nut to crack here if you want to keep that thing moving forward. Your buddy Rick Bonus might have his work cut out for him for whatever the roster looks like next season.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. I don't know how you do that without going into a teardown rebuild. And I'm not sure that it isn't time for Winnipeg to do that. You thought you had the guys. And I think the dominoes all really started to fall when Byfuglien just left hockey. And, you know, remember that time they lost four of their top six in 2 years. There's not many teams that can survive that. And Winnipeg, really, if you look back, really didn't. And, you know, I think, you know, without saying it publicly, I think it's pretty much public knowledge that Scheifele and Wheeler are not guys that a lot of people think would be guys who could lead you to anything substantial. But, you know, could still get you something in the open market. But, you know, so... Dubois doesn't want to be there. If somebody doesn't want to be there, you don't want them there. I've always been of that mindset that, you know, if somebody doesn't want to be there, don't try to convince them of something they already know. Just do the best you can to get something for them and get some people in there who do want to be there. So, you know, you look at all those main pieces, and I think Hellebuyck wants to get himself to, you know, he's in that time of his career where he's going to be able to make some choices. I think that it's obvious that, you know, he's going to want to go somewhere and sign with a team while he's still a Vezina caliber goaltender where he's got a real chance to win something. And so, you know, you look at all those pieces and if you're going to move all or some of those pieces, how do you not go into some kind of a rebuild? I personally think a full teardown rebuild would be the best thing, but your fans have to be on board with that because everybody in Ottawa knows and everybody in Toronto and New Jersey, all the teams that have gone through teardown rebuilds. It's a long, painful path. But if you look at the teams that are successful for long periods of time, going to the playoffs year after year after year, that pretty much is how they do it. And so I think that's a great sales job they might have to do in Winnipeg because I know Cheveldayoff says that, you know, they think they can make moves to make this team, you know, a solid playoff team that can get through a couple of rounds by making moves. I don't see that. I don't know how you do that with that particular group. I don't know. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
There are obvious teardown teams, right? Ottawa went through it here. Chicago's, you know, pretty much done tearing it down. I don't think there's any way you can move Seth Jones, so I think you're pretty much done. And now it's about the build at that point. But I think the team to really watch is obvious, isn't it, Dean? It's on in Philadelphia. I mean, you know, the Provorov was just the start, and the rumors are out there for a reason and being corroborated by well-sourced people. Danny Briere means business. Like, they are, they're finally, it's never happened ever in the history of the Flyers, but they're going to take that thing down to the studs, it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely they are. And you know what? The one, you know, I don't envy Luke, you know, like what he's going to go through as the head coach, but on the other side of it, one of the areas where they're in good shape is they I think have, you know, straightened out their hockey ops department, number one. Number two, they have a head coach who is exactly the kind of guy you would want to develop young players. You have a guy that has a moral compass that always points exactly the right way. You have a guy who is ethical, who is demanding but nurturing. You know, you have a guy that is, as a head coach, is going to be able to take you, you know, where you need to go in John Tortorella and the staff that they have. And in Chicago, you know, Luke, we've talked about, you know, Luke is the kind of guy that guy, if you're coming out of a rebuild, that's the kind of guy you need to have. So I look at, you know, Tortorella in Philadelphia and you look at Luke in Chicago, and I'm not sure if Tortorella is going to be the guy to take them through that. You know, just at the end of the year where he's having his assistants, I don't know if they were auditions, but, you know, he would sit upstairs and watch the games and then, you know, let the Bradshaw and, you know, the other assistants, you know, be the head coach. I'm not sure if that's not him looking at maybe transitioning out of being a coach and, you know, moving into hockey ops and, you know, going that way. But, you know, so Philadelphia, I think, is in a good spot coaching wise, where you're going to get like that demand, you know, accountability, and you're going to get somebody that's going to get the best out of these kids. In Chicago, you got a guy like Luke that is going to be a guy that's great for nurturing young players. You know, in some of the other situations around the league, you look at the player, like in Anaheim, you look at what they're doing there, like somebody that, you know, the team already knows and they have confidence in them. So I think in those kinds of rebuilds, who that rebuild coach is a very, very important thing.
All right, we'll leave it there for now, Dean. We'll be watching the Stanley Cup Final, and it might be over by the next time we speak to you on Tuesday. So enjoy it, Dean. Enjoy your time and this better weather as you're outside cutting the lawn with better air, and we'll talk to you again coming up on Tuesday.
All right. Well, just so everybody knows, I will be long distance next week.
Oh, I forgot. Yes, yeah. Fill the listeners in.
Yeah, we're going away for 10 days doing one of those Viking River cruises down the Danube next week. So I'll be talking to you next week just after supper time in Austria when we do the one on Tuesday, and I think probably in Hungary on Thursday when we do it next week. But anyway, it'll be a long distance, but I'll be keeping tabs on what's going on.
Nice. Now, cool. Dean sent me a note a few days ago, said, by the way, I'm doing this trip, but don't worry, I still plan on doing the hits. I said, well, that'll be cool, because we're in off-season mode here. Let's be honest, we're looking for some different flavor, and you're going to give us that.
Oh, I'm bringing flavor.
You're bringing flavor next week. You're going to be overseas on a cruise going down a river.
That's right. You can call me next week and call me Flava Flav. I'm bringing.
Okay.
Done.
Done. All right. Enjoy the schnitzel and all of that, Dean. All right.
You got it.
Okay. Next week from overseas, Dean will join us for his hits on Tuesday and Thursday on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. We'll take a quick break, come back with more of your texts, continue to pour in. Oh, shocker. It's pretty much all about DeBrincat as we continue on In the Box on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back to it. 1:30 in the box on TSN 1200. Thanks to Dean Brown. Well, that'll be cool next week. Creature, we'll talk to Dean as he's on a river cruise in Europe. I can't wait for the colorful background we're going to get with our NHL and Sens insider hits on Tuesday and Thursday next week. But I think maybe by then, Graham, Stanley Cup final might be over by Tuesday, by the time that we next speak to Dean. I'm hoping it's – I'm with you. We talked about this yesterday. Honestly, you know, like it's – I'd like to see Mark Stone win a Stanley Cup. But you know what? I wouldn't mind if Colin White or won a Stanley – I got a soft spot for Colin White as well. Good guy. I'd like to see him win a cup. The, you know, Anthony Duclair. I'd like to see him win a cup just because we talk about him even more. Maybe Lee would finally, you know, make good on his bet. There's that angle as well. But
hello,
be honest
Alfie.
With you. Yeah, I'm like the pretty much every other sports fan where it's not one of your favorite teams involved or a team that you despise or whatever. You settle in, you want to see good competitive hockey, and you want to see a long series. So you know what? For tonight, I'm cheering for the Panthers. I want the Panthers to win tonight. I want more hockey. I want to see this thing get a little more interesting. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, I'm not really feeling it either. Especially the Gudas factor. Not that he's Tkachuk or Bobrovsky level, but he's very important back there and is a guy you have to look out for and can play and just gives them three pretty decent pairings. Without him, they don't have a lot behind him to insert into the lineup. And I'm not even talking like replace what he brings, but just NHL caliber. So tremendous blow if he's either unable to play or not effective because of the injury. So I think Bobrovsky probably has to be lights out. Need a huge start from the Panthers and to get the crowd in it and to get Koepka in it. And we'll see what Matt Tkachuk can do with it. They've been counted out a number of times throughout the season. Now here comes the most crucial point in the year. Let's see how you answer the bell.
All right. We've referenced it a bunch of times. We haven't updated it in a while, so why don't we do that? The web poll brought to you by the Tool and Equipment Store. You can hit our website at tsn1200.ca. What is the preferred return on an Alex DeBrincat trade? It's changed a little bit. Goalie has come up a bit, but it's still second. Number one is a similar goal-scoring forward. And number two is goalie at 30.3%. Similar goal-scoring forwards, 38.7%. Third is 25.1%, and that's added depth, so some middle six forwards. And last is a futures deal that includes a first-round pick at 5.9%. So keep them coming on our website at tsn1200.ca.
Are you surprised by that in any way, the first-round pick stats?
I guess I'm surprised it's that low, but I'm not surprised it's fourth.
Yeah, that my feelings exactly. Like I think a lot of people recognize that if you remove him, you definitely need to replace him one way or another. But I didn't think it would be 5%. Because to me, if that ends up being the deal where you get a first round pick plus, you can use some of those assets plus other ones that you have in acquiring a player or two. You can also dip into free agency. Like I don't hate a futures deal for him.
To me, in a perfect world, I'd like to see if they can do a little of both here. And maybe it becomes a bigger trade to make that happen. I don't know, right? Other pieces involved, or maybe doesn't have to be. Like it would come down to if you could get a first round pick, and it doesn't have to be a super high one. It could be a pick in the 20s because they don't have many picks this year, right? If you could get a pick and get a goalie or get a goal scoring forward or a potential goal scoring forward, like a young guy with some upside. I know, like JR throughout, and I like this name, like a Seth Jarvis if it's Carolina. That's good. That's a good young player.
Yeah, I'm glad he did that too because I've seen a lot of Natchez, and I don't think they're doing that.
Oh man, that guy, he's so good, and he's only getting better. No, I think if you want to get real, it'd be that. Or if you wanted something a little more established, it's a good player like a Teravainen, right? But then the deal would change. I think there'd be more value in the young guy, or the one that I threw out from St. Louis. Like I like a Buchnevich, if it's him. And St. Louis has three first-round picks. You know, that's something. If you could do a little bit of both, Or like the big one here, and we had this discussion earlier, right? If you're getting a goalie as part of a DeBrincat trade, the number one for me, if he's still available, and he apparently was during the season, it was confirmed from a couple of sources this week that the LA Kings and the Nashville Predators were talking trade surrounding UC Saros ahead of the deadline. If that is still a possibility, I'm having that conversation. At least, like, what would it take, right? And Nashville's got a couple of first-round picks as well, but you're probably looking at a bigger deal at that point. So, yeah, and if you could kind of do both, I get it. They need some middle six depth, but there might be a chance for that to help develop from within, right? What's going on with Formanton? Is Ridley Gregg going to make the team and develop? Shane Pinto. He had a good year, Shane Pinto did. You know, you get Norris back, he's even in a better position. You know, your growth in your middle six, the best growth might come from within as well. But it's never bad to add. I get it. But to me, if you could do some right now help that helps you keep it moving forward that way, and you get a little bit of future back, preferably a pick, like a first rounder, with any type of a DeBrincat trade, I think that'd be a perfect world scenario for me. Easier said than done, especially with a limited market because he's only given you a handful of teams to negotiate with from the perspective that those are the teams that I'd be willing to possibly sign with so it's not just a pure rental price. That's where we're at. All right, so similar goal scoring forward, 38.7%. Goalie, 30.2. Added depth, middle six, 25.2. First futures deal, only 5.9%. That is our Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day. Looking to the links. Corey Connors in the clubhouse with a tidy 5-under-67 today, Creature. And he is now tied for the lead, the clubhouse lead. With Aaron Ra, Justin Lower, and Chasen Hadley also in with 67s, still on the course. Ryan Gerard, he's got a couple holes left. He's got it at 5-under par. Some other notables in the house, Matt Fitzpatrick, he's only one shot back at 4-under, at 3-under par. Fellow Englishman Justin Rose, who flirted with a 59 last year at the Canadian Open. Roger Sloan, another Canadian with a solid day. He got in at the 3-under par. He's in a tie for 10th with many others with Justin Rose. Sorry, I won't be as bad as I was before. Rory got in at 1-under par. See, I found them a lot faster this time, Graham. I started at the right end. If you were listening earlier, that was terrible on my part. It took me forever to find Rory. 1-under par for the two-time defending champion at the Canadian Open as day one continues, and we're just really getting going into the afternoon wave. Other notable Canadians playing together, Mackenzie Hughes, Adam Hadwin at 1-under par. Svensson is also in that group. He's at even. Taylor Pendrith, he's birdied his opening hole to get it to 1-under. Nick Taylor, disappointing, 3-over-75 today. And we'll mention this as well. Michael Block of PGA Championship fame, the club pro who played so well that he automatically got into the PGA again for next season. Then he got a sponsor's invite to the following week of the PGA Tour and finished dead last. So you can't take that moment away from him. Well, he got a sponsor's invite to the Canadian Open, if you did not know. He tees it up coming up in about 15 minutes from now. So something to look for there as well. And this is at Oakdale in the Toronto area. It is the Canadian Open, which unfortunately has been overshadowed by live news for the second straight year. If you recall, a year ago, it was up against the first ever live event. So that kind of took away from a lot of the talk and what the players were being asked to talk about at the Canadian Open. And of course, this week, just 2 days ago, was the huge news that the golf, men's golf world is changing like we've never seen this kind of change before. A new company has been created to oversee LIV and the PGA and the DP World Tour. And this is totally funded by PIF. That is the Saudi fund. And they have the right of first refusal of any new money coming into it. And that gets back into what's that going to look like. Jay Monahan and Rory McIlroy both seem to say, well, since Monahan's going to be the CEO of this new company, he's going to be able to direct where the money comes in, and that's a good thing. Well, it's still not your money. The chair of this new company pretty much is a gentleman representing the fund, and that's where the tap is to turn the money on and off. So it's interesting. We'll see where this goes. And I just bringing this up again because I wanted to pick up what CJ told us earlier in the show. The Department of Justice, you know, there's rumblings that this all could come crashing down with the DOJ in the States and looking at this because of competition in the marketplace. But the other question, and I don't know the ins and outs. I just don't have the answer to this question. Is there an issue at all, potentially? This new company was made abundantly clear in this news release that we got a couple days ago, is for-profit. It is a for-profit company. The PGA Tour, though, is maintaining it is a not-for-profit company. And there are tax exemptions that come along with that. There's a reason behind that. And they give a lot of money to charity and what have you. How does that work, Graham? That your actual company that controls you now and owns you in a way is for-profit and could eventually be publicly traded even. Who knows? How can a company underneath still say you're not for profit? I know you don't, you probably don't have the answer either. I'm just asking the question. So to CJ's point, this isn't done yet, right? There's a reason why Jay Monahan didn't have all the details in his news conference the other day. We got some details in the news release, a little bit more on what he had to say. But a lot of it was, well, after 2023, this is all going to happen. Okay, what? Like what? How? It's not officially over the finish line. So I guess there's a chance it doesn't work. But anyways, see, I did it. I wanted to give you just a leaderboard update, and even I can't get away from it. The poor Canadian Open. Again, back-to-back years overshadowed by this. Okay, we'll take a break. Back in a moment. Put a wrap on this thing, and we've got a few more text messages we'll get to. Coming up next at 2, it is The Drive with our good friends Lee Versailles, J.J. Jakubek, and Matty Vowles. It is the start of the CFL season tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It'll be on TSN at 9. Stampeders taking on the BC Lions. There'll be a little Friday night football, as there always is, each and every Friday night during the CFL season tomorrow night. And then for Red Blacks fans, your season begins Saturday. Red Blacks will be in Montreal to take on the Alouettes. 7 o'clock kickoff, 5:30 for your pregame show with Lee and Duke and AJ and Jeff Avery. We have that call at 7:30. So I know that AJ and Lee will be talking about the start of the CFL season here tonight. I know they'll have some thoughts on the whole DeBrincat thing. We got the Stanley Cup final resuming tonight, and that'll be on TSN 1200. 7:30 tonight for your pregame show. Drop the Puck shortly after 8 on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
Creature, wasn't this the request my daughter made to you one time when she hopped on? You asked her, what do you want to hear? And she shocked you. You laughed. Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I feel like it was Wilburys or
yeah, she loves this song.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. I just got a note from our good friend Aaron John Jakubek. So they're at the stadium today. I think they were worried if they're because of the smoke, right? But they're a go. They're the drive's on location. They're down at TD Place. and going to have some in-person guests. They're going to have Nate Bahar join them and also Kahari Jones coming up into the booth. There you go. Something over the years I've been familiar with that here on this show and in the box, and great to be having a show live at the stadium, and you get that kind of in-person access to whether it's, well, it goes back to the Fury days. We'd have soccer players come up and also Red Blacks players and personnel. So AJ and Lee live from TD Place, and Nate Bahar and Kahari Jones coming up here. And the season does get underway tonight in Calgary with the Stampeders taking on the BC Lions. And now that the new CFL season is underway, like, I watched a bit of the preview stuff and reading up on it, but it is going to be, there's been a lot of change throughout the league. Quarterbacks on the move. You know, there's always some coaching changes here, just different. Like, it's going to be weird to not see Bo Levi Mitchell, you know, be the quarterback of the Calgary Stampeders. Now, I know the transition happened during the season last year, Graham, but that's going to be strange, right? And now, you know, Nathan Rourke, he was the story, so much so he's now with your Jags. And now Vernon Adams Jr. is now the guy for now in BC. It all gets underway tonight. So I'm looking forward to it, right? It's fun to look at these training camps, and obviously we pay special attention to the Red Blacks, but now it's like any other sport. On opening day, opening night, everybody thinks there's hope, even if most are saying that your team won't be very good. Nobody's fan base is believing that here on opening night. So that'll be cool to tune into that tonight.
I'm sorry, just trying to hook up with the guys at the stadium here. But, yeah, looking forward. Hey, honestly, for me, it's more Saturday. And looking forward to hearing from the guys at the stadium today.
All right, so that's coming up here, and Graham's multitasking as we speak, making sure the connection's good to go. All right, by the way, that's on TSN TV at 9. TSN 1200, we've got Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. That's at 7:30 tonight. Drop of the puck shortly after 8 o'clock. It's been the DeBrinket show here today. Let's call it what it is, right?